Page number 50, lesson 16. We're looking at Acts chapter 5, verse 17, all the way through Acts chapter 6, verse 7. We did part of the lesson last week, all the way through question number 10. So we'll be ready for question 11. We ended with the statement that was made that we ought to obey God rather than man. Verse 29. And this is where the apostles were, Peter and the other was put in jail, and the angel comes down and rescues them from jail, opens the doors, they walk out. The high priest and the council, the sect of the Sadducees, they were wondering what happened, so they sent people to go get them out of jail because they found them speaking in the temple. So they went to the jail and found out that everything was locked. The guards were there. They didn't even know they was missing. And they'd been missing for probably several hours at that point. Because it happened in the night, and then this is the next day. And so some interesting things are going on. They wanted to do some bad things to them, but they were afraid of the people. So they begin to quiz them. And then we get down to verse 29. And where it says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So we ended our discussion last week talking about how that we ought to honor God's law over the law of man. And that should be our, hierarchy there and what we should do and what we should obey. Gets us down to question number 11. It says, what two things did Peter say God gave to Israel and to all through Christ? Based on verse 31. Yep, repentance and forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins. How can it be said that God gives us repentance? Good thought question there. What's that?
Ephesians is a real good book on that. Talks about the fact that we were redeemed by the blood of Christ.
So the one that they're the so this to me this is interesting again that this is brought up because it's through Christ, it's through the grace that when the conditions are met we get to receive that forgiveness, and repentance is part of that act. I also thought it read in I believe it was Matthew Henry's writing, he said through the word taking root in one's heart. That's how the repentance comes about. And I thought about that. So that kind of makes sense. Because if you let the word dwell in you, that's what changes you. The work, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit. That's how it changes you through the working of the word in your life. As you, I believe you said through Jesus a minute ago.
I said he gave us Jesus.
Gave us Jesus. The great stumbling block to some. And the one who, the giving of Jesus was the hardening of the heart. If you remember in one of the other letters that he writes to the churches, Paul does, he talks about the hardening of the heart and explains it. I believe it's in the Thessalonian letter, and he explains that as being the sending of Jesus is what caused the hardening of the heart. And so anyway, it's an interesting thought there. That man has a part to play in that with God offering repentance to Israel through the gift of God. Number 12 is, who did Peter say were witnesses of these things?
The apostles.
The apostles.
Except we.
Yep, well, who's the we? verse 32, and we are his witnesses. Don't think we ought to get too concerned about the word witnesses there, because it's not used in the traditional, I shouldn't say traditional, it's not used in the sense of the way denominations use that word. Because we all are to testify of him. And us making our testimony of him is stating who he is and standing up for what he would have us to do. To whom is the Holy Spirit given?
To everybody that obeys Him.
To everyone that obeys Him. Seems like that's like what we read in Revelation. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. It's available for all, who want to lay hold on it. We just got to convince people and get them interested in it, so that they can take hold of that repentance and forgiveness of sins. Number 13, what did the council determine to do with the apostles?
First,
they were going to kill them. Notice that what provoked them to this? It was the cutting of the heart, there in verse 33. Cutting of the hearts, what led them this way. You also could say that they were hardening their heart because they were refusing the message. Remember who we're talking about here. We're talking about the high priests and the Sadducees. And for them to admit, for them to say that Jesus was real or these things they're saying is so, would mean they'd have to give up their religion. The Sadducees had to give it up, their way of thinking and so forth. So it's a big deal. As it is with people today, sometimes people have to give up their way of life in order to follow Christ if they want to follow Him. And so it can be a big deal, but it's available to all who would obey Him. I want to throw out there something interesting. Right quick, along those lines, when it comes to the Muslim religion, I guess the reason it's on my mind a little bit is because of what's going on in Israel right now, of how bad it, I say it's bad, it's no worse than it's been in times past. They always fighting over there, they always fighting Israel, they fight each other, they keep going. You know, that's prophesied in the scriptures, that they'll always do that because that's the children of Jacob and Esau. They're always going to fight. And God, I don't believe that God makes them fight. He just can see all things and know that's just the way they're going to live. That's the way they're going to do it. But anyway, when you look at these Muslim Eastern world religions, one of the interesting things you look at the Quran is it speaks of the Bible. And this is one way it talks of the Bible, and I found it interesting that not that many Muslims have focused or have noticed that passage in there that talks about the older shall take precedence over the younger, talking about the sacred writings. And so I found that when you use that scripture in their text from the Quran, you use that passage for them and show it to them, then you get their attention. Because which is older? The teachings of Christ is older. So then you begin to knock down that wall, look for the common ground, and you start working through they believe in the Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses. And you begin to be able to work your way back into that. And then when you get to the I Am passages over in the book of John, you're able to tie the New Testament back to the Old Testament, because God identifies Himself, I am that I am. That's big to those folks, by the way. And then the next thing you know, you've got them into Jesus. And so and for them to do that is a big, they got to give up a lot. I think sometimes we underestimate how much they got to give up just to get to that point, even though they're sacred texts. If you truly looked at it, would point you in that direction.
Well, Muhammad came out with his in 632 AD. So, you know, like you said, Christ had been around for a lot longer than that.
Yep. And like I said, when you get into the I Am, that I Am, and start explaining that and show that where it talks about in the book of John, where it makes the reference back to that, you got their attention, because they're better versed in that than we are, that most likely. Anyway, back to our lesson. So, number 14. To me, this is where the story gets interesting. Who rose to give valuable advice?
Gamaliel.
What four things are said about him?
He was a doctor of the law.
Mm-hmm.
He had a good reputation with the people. He commanded to give the apostles space, let them breathe, give them some space, and to take heed of what they intended to do, the council. He told the council to take heed of what you are intending to do.
I was going to say there's one more that's before that, which is the Pharisee. Yep. So really there's five things you could say. Huh? Probably. He was part of the council here, yeah. But let's see, verse 34 is where we find most of that. It was just talked about, 34 and 35. What I find interesting is the argument he makes here. He makes a logical argument. And he makes one based on evidence, because he's giving them things that they are witness that they have seen. He uses what they have seen to make his point. And so I think that's why he was able to be very convincing. Obviously, he was a well-educated man, being a doctor of the law. And notice that that talked about he was, what did it say about the people, that he had in reputation among the people, which I believe means that he was well known among the people. People knew who he was. So he had, I guess, an authoritative word.
Have respect by the people.
That would work there too.
I didn't want any translation.
Yeah, see, that would work as well. Either way, he could speak as an authoritative type figure because of the reputation he had and the other things that was mentioned there about him. And the number 15 is, what do you think of Gamaliel's advice?
Wise advice.
I thought of it from this perspective too, that he was cautious. Because of the way he answers, if it be of God, all you're doing is fighting God, fighting against God. Yeah. Well, remember what's his religious background? It tells us he's a Pharisee. So he had a different perspective than they did. They were flying off the handle mad, ready to, if it hadn't been for the people, they'd probably killed them, to be honest about it. I believe they would have. They'd stoned them. They'd done something to them. That's how off the handle they flew. Not unlike some people today we see. Yeah. He did. Somehow he arranged for Gamaliel to be part of that. And when I see stuff like that, I think of the providence of God. You know, there's stuff like that going on all the time. And, of course, it's even possible for us to identify all that God does to help us out. But he was helping these guys out. What I like, and back to the argument that he makes, he gives them the example, but he first gives them the warning. In verse 35, he says, take heed. In other words, think about what you're about to do, what you intend to do touching these men. Think about it. Realize what you're doing. And then he gives them the example. Before these days rose Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom the number of men, being about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many had obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. Can you think of an example of somebody like that's happened to in our lifetime? I can. Well, the group on top, the mountaintop at 1999 waiting on 2000,
yeah.
They all died. that followed that movement, or a lot of them did. They froze to death because they was up there naked, waiting on things to happen. I was thinking about what happened in Texas about 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Waco. To me, that fits it to a T, because you had the leader, you had all the followers, and almost nobody got out of there alive. And the ones that was, they scattered out. If you remember, the government went in and busted them up, and a bunch of people got killed because of the retaliation from them. I'm sure we could dig up another one or two if we sat and thought. In other words...
Well, what about Tammy Fagan? What's his name?
James.
Baker,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they hit high, and then they hit low.
Yep.
You know, the bigger, Dad always said, the bigger you are, the harder you fall.
Yep.
Right. Yep.
And they fell big. They're still in jail, aren't they? They're still living.
Well,
she's not. She got out.
Did she ever go to jail?
I don't know that she ever went.
I'm not sure she did either.
Maybe she didn't. Well, I know that the Happy Goodmans, they defended them to the day they died, that they was unjustly accused.
Well, you know, it's funny you bring this up. Just on television today, on something I was watching, it was on the Today Show. They've been going through some of the churches, and there's a church right now that's falling apart that's really big that I didn't even know. I mean, I don't follow that stuff. But do you know where they have all these celebrities?
Scientology.
Yeah, they rise to celebrity status.
Yep.
And then they caught this guy doing all this, you know, things he should have been doing, and now they've caught a whole lot of them in the church. And they were talking to the original pastor about it today, and he said, they said something to him about, are you going to just close down? And he goes, no. He goes, but they make a lot of money.
Yep.
Well,
see, there's a lot of them that way. That's one of the things that COVID has exposed, is a lot of churches found out there's a lot of money in this,
in
the church business.
She was interviewing him, and he acknowledged there's a lot of money there.
Yep. Well, at least didn't try to hide it.
Yeah. Well,
he knew she knew. Yeah. Example 2, verse 37, And this man arose up, Judas of Galilee, in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people. He also perished, and even as many as obeyed him were dispersed. He's like, here's another example, kind of the same thing. Now let's talk about, did anybody do any research on Judas of Galilee? His name,
well,
if I'm fine where I wrote it down.
If you look on page 51, True and False,
yep.
That's a number 4 that you're
yep.
talking about. I knew I did research on him. So that's going to be false, because Judas of Galilee is the one that betrayed the Lord. Well, he was a Jewish leader who led resistance to the cause.
Yep. His nickname was the Galilean. That was his nickname. From Thayer's dictionary, and the census that's talked about there in the time of the taxing, or the census, was the census of Quirinus, Quirinus. So I guess that was probably the ruler that required the census, and then he incited a revolt in Galilee. You know, the anti-religion, anti-government, whatever he was anti, he led a riot, and that's why he got put down. Yep.
Probably because they were basing their taxes on that or something, maybe?
Probably so. But anyway, evidently he had a big following, according to this. You know, he must have had a big following. It's funny, they numbered in the other one, they give a number. This one, they don't give a number, so it might have been they couldn't you know, couldn't even get ballpark. And now verse 38, here comes the advice. And he tells them again, refrain from these men. Let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, what will happen to it?
Come to naught.
So if you didn't believe, if you didn't believe that statement, I could see him arguing. I just gave you two examples. What does the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, how many witnesses did you have to have?
Two.
So here he's made his case airtight under the old law because he's given two witnesses. Or two examples or two witnesses. Verse 38 or 39. And he says, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found to fight against God. Think about that statement just for a moment. How true it is. How many times have people fought against God trying to snuff out Christianity over the, well, since the time of Jesus? Actually, right here, we're reading about it going on right there. They're trying to stomp it out. That's one case. Just think about in the last 100 years. It's happened several times, actually. It happened in Germany back in the 40s. You go back a few more years, it was happening in Japan. You go forward a few more years, you can name probably five different countries in Africa as well as part of Asia where they were trying to do the same thing. Stomp out Christianity. Nobody has been successful. You go back and look at some of the other dictatorships 200-300 years ago, they tried the same thing. You know, Mao and some of those Chinese guys, they tried to stomp it out. No success. The Roman Empire, a little ahead of this, tried to stomp it out with Nero and Vespucian and Titus. Those emperors, they tried to stomp it out and they ended up crashing the government.
Stalin and Russia.
Yeah, more recent times, Stalin and Russia. They all tried to stomp it out. It's been done multiple times over history, and nobody's been successful. They might have been successful in a small area, but generally what happens when you try to stomp out Christianity that's God-based, the real God-based, it ends up spreading. It just goes underground and takes root everywhere. If you don't believe it, study Crimea. That's going on right now in Crimea, in the Ukraine. Because of what the Russian government has done with their army down in Crimea, they've spread the church out. It's actually a pretty interesting study. I was fortunate enough to get to listen to some of those folks that had been dispersed because of what the Russian army did I guess now it's been about 4 years ago when they took Crimea over. It had been 2014, somewhere around in there. It's interesting study, and I would encourage you to do that. I hope you can still find the videos of these people on YouTube. It may not be. Just look Crimea. Crimea. That's the southern, I believe it's the southern tip of the Ukraine. I'm not sure what they consider it now, if they consider it part of Russia or part of the Ukraine. Either way, the Russian army came in while Obama was president, and they went in and stomped out religion, tried to. If you were not part of either Greek Orthodox or the Russian Orthodox Church, they either burned your building or they just took it.
Crimea Peninsula.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To make money, I mean, you know, their country.
So what we done, or where I participated in, was they went and found, one of the missionaries went and found several of the people and interviewed the people. And it was interesting to see how they dispersed. because they took their church buildings away from them. And then if you were in a house, they were trying to bust that up too, and doing house church, so to speak. So it was very interesting to listen to their stories and what they were doing and how they were striving to find ways to meet as a church family. And most of them ended up having to leave the region. So probably I'd say today the result of that is they've probably been church plants pop up in other places because they could not stomp it out. Number 17, is that where we're at?
16, sorry.
What important truth did Gamaliel recognize about God and his cause?
Don't fight against God.
Don't fight against him. Name some ways in which you think one might be fighting against God. Yep. I put a couple of things you talked about, as well as if you deny his power. Deny his power, deny his son. And then the things you said. Those are all ways we can fight against God. And noticing the things we just mentioned, a lot of it has an apathetic component to it. If you don't do this, if you don't do that, if you don't study, you don't know what it is, you don't fight the good fight of faith, if you deny the message, you deny the Son, then you're fighting against God, because he wants everyone to come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants everyone to know his Son, and he wants everyone to benefit from his Son. And we see that played out in this story. Number 17, what four things did the council then do to the apostles upon the acceptance of Gamaliel's advice?
They called the apostles.
Yep.
Beat them.
And they let them go. Number 18 is what did the apostles rejoice?
They were counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ.
Yep. To me, this has always been a fascinating point about this story, as well as some of the others that we'll read about in the book of Acts, is they found joy and satisfaction in having been persecuted. And I think the reason why is because they knew they were doing the right thing. They knew who they were doing it for, and they knew, you know, the reasoning and all that behind it. And whenever you think about it, whenever someone's willing to give their life for a cause, there's something to it. There is something big going on. And because when you think about, like in terms of our country, we have people who's willing to give their life for the country, and that's big. That's something big. But in religion, especially when it comes to Christ, there's people all over the place who's willing to give their lives to see that thing, you know, give their lives because of God, because they know they're doing it for the right reason, and so forth. The next part of the question is, what should be the Christian's attitude towards his trials and tribulations?
Should
get it all joy. Yep. First off, in the first passage in Matthew 5, 10 through 12, what's the first word in that passage? That was blessed.
Blessed.
Blessed or blessed. And so the person is blessed. Then you mentioned rejoicing. What else do we find in there that should be the attitude towards trials and tribulations?
Being glad your reward is in heaven.
Yep.
Be joyful and
glorify
God.
Yep. Be joyful and glorify God.
I put, if we get to obey,
Huh?
Oh, I said don't doubt.
Oh, don't doubt. I really thought this one would be one that you guys had wrote down. What about patient? Because you look in 1 Peter, I believe it's 1 Peter 4, 13 through 16, talks about patience, working patience. It might have been in, no, that's not right. It's in James 1, 1 through 5 is where that's talking about working patience.
Well, that's still there. You can put something about faith, you can ask for wisdom. Sure.
Yeah. Not, and also, in 1 Peter, it talks about not being ashamed, right? Yeah. So not being ashamed, that's another one. And of course, you've already mentioned glorifying God. You find a lot of things in those three passages there that should, what our attitude should be. Next page, number 19. Choose an expression from verse 42 that reveals some important truths about the apostles' teaching. So regular.
Daily.
Public. In the temple, in private,
every
house, and the subject. Sound like he's active, doesn't it? So they were meeting very often, daily, in the temple. Then they met from house to house, and the subject they were talking about, it says not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So there we have the formula for why. Or most likely why there were a lot of disciples there. This idea of they met daily in the temple, when I think about that, I'm thinking about the teaching. Because you've got to remember, these are new people, new to the faith, a lot of new folks. Not just that, they don't have the written word like we do. So private study was more of a challenge because they didn't have the written word. So that was probably necessary for them to meet daily to be able to learn, to grow, because they didn't have the written word. And then this idea of in every house, sounded like they were going from house to house, and perhaps they were doing that because they had people that couldn't make the temple, because if it was during the work day, perhaps they worked. I don't know. That's just speculation. But I also know that in going from house to house, sometimes you can collect up neighbors. If we're more wealthy, you collect up housekeepers and servants and so forth that'd be listening. And so that's a positive thing as well. But either way, they were growing and they were learning because of this exposure. He was reading the Old Testament scrolls, yep.
And so what happened was he was taught from the Old Testament. And they were more familiar with the passages and things in the Old Testament than we are. So therefore, being familiar with them, they were taught about Christ from the Old Testament.
Yeah. Also, them having the apostles there, so they had the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, through revelation.
We always say, well, they didn't have the written word.
Well, the written, when I'm saying written word, I'm referring to the New Testament. They did have the old covenant.
But the public always thinks that they didn't have.
Didn't have nothing.
They didn't have anything.
Yeah. Yeah, which is not the case. Oh, I wish the Jews of today would do that. Be as noble as their quote ancestors. Anything else before we move on to true and false? True and false. The high priest and those who were with him were envious of the apostles' success.
True.
True. Number two, the prison doors were opened.
True.
True. Verse 19. Theudas was a well-known biblical character.
False.
False. Verse 36. This is the only mention that I could find of him in the Bible. Judas of Galilee, we've already answered this one, but Judas of Galilee was one who betrayed the Lord.
False.
If you want to do an interesting thing on Judas, the name Judas, there's several people in the New Testament named Judas. Most people only focus on the one who betrayed the Lord, but there's several of them actually.
I believe one of Christ's brothers.
Yep. His name Judas, yep. Some will even say Jude is short for Judas. Read that. Quick story. Well, run out of time, but my boss, two jobs alone. my boss, two jobs ago, or three jobs ago, however many it was, I don't know how it came up in conversation. This was a guy who had a degree from Vanderbilt in some form of seminary, and he was a structural engineer. So he somehow it came up in conversation one day, and he was just amazed that there's more than one Judas listed in the New Testament. And then I'd probably said it now, but then I was thinking, you're supposed to be smarter than I am. You've started the church in Nashville and done all this other stuff, so have you not seen that before? Yeah, have you not read the Bible? Or, you know, there's things, that just shows there's things you read over.
What church did he start in Nashville?
I don't remember. It was one of them where they danced up and down the aisle and did all kinds of theater, and yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff. I don't even know if it's still in existence. It probably is because it was getting quite large. This would have been back in the early 90s.
There are so many. I mean, they're everywhere. I don't even know. When people tell me, oh, you know the bridge, or you know this and that, I'm going, no, I don't know.
Number five, the fact that a thing fails proves it is to be of man.
True.
True, verse 38. The fact that a thing succeeds proves it to be of God.
True.
True, verse 39. Yes. Yes, and I want to say yes and no. What things can you find that's been around since the beginning? Not even a diamond. It is possible, but it's not likely, because what forms diamonds? Volcanic eruptions. Yeah. What forms coal? Not what they say. That's one of the misnomers, and the reason they can't deny it is because if you deny that, you have to deny the old earth theory.
Are you saying
carbon? Oh, it is carbon, but it's formed when Mount St. Helens erupted on the layers it was on top of the land, mm-hmm. which there is a layer of coal there that formed out of the magma that come out. And so they discovered that that's also a formation of coal. But notice that you've never rarely heard anything about it. You have to go to people who are creationists that will point you to that research. It's because if they acknowledge that, then they can't acknowledge that oil formations and coal and stuff like that took billions and billions and billions a year under organics, under pressure, and all this other stuff. So it's one of the proofs you can use to disprove the the old earth theory, that the earth is really, you know, what they say, 100 million years old, whatever they say. So there's evidence. To me, that's an interesting one, because I find a lot of people have never read that. But that's a new discovery that came out of when Mount St. Helens erupted, what, in the 2000s, when it had that mini eruption. It's not been that long ago. That was one of the formations that happened. And they dug it out, and then they covered it back up, I think. They didn't like what they found. By the way, if you want to see something interesting, I don't know if you've got the pictures with you tonight. General questions, who said it and to whom? Do this in remembrance of me.
Jesus to the apostles.
Entreat me not to leave thee, nor return from following after thee.
Ruth
and Naomi. Yep, one of the beautiful stories in the Old Testament. Who shall roll away the stone?
Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome.
Yep, Salome. Number four, I appeal to Caesar.
Paul to Festus.
Yep. And the last one, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Yep, Jesus to one of the thieves. All right. Well, good. So we'll end there, and we'll pick up with the next lesson next week. Which I'm not real sure why they, on lesson 16, they put through chapter 6, verse 7 when we had no questions for that. I think it's a typo in the book. Because next week we'll pick up with chapter 6. Appreciate your comments and hope you found something beneficial tonight.